good on time. Having a good time this morning. Anybody else? So taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. I think it's time to get your Bibles out if you brought them this morning, your phones, iPads, however you follow along. That song is a powerful song in my life right now. It's just something that really just speaks to my heart. And along with what Trey was saying and even Betsy was saying, that, I mean, think about that for a moment. A win for us is a win for God. Why would he not want us to win? Why would he not want us to win? And, you know, sometimes we almost can fall into a situation where we feel like God is the force working against us because of our failures, because of what we've done, or the things in the past, and all that type of stuff. And I don't know about you, but I mean, has the enemy ever brought that lie to you that you know, that God can no longer use you? God can no longer use you. That's a lie. It's a lie. And you know what was this morning? I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, if we left right now, I'd leave full, because God. And it's just for me, but I'll share it with you. Spoke something in my heart that just so affirmed his love in my life. And when we sang that song, and I play it all the time in my office, sometimes I kneel, sometimes I don't, but when, like Trey said, yielding may be lifting your hands, yielding may be kneeling down. When I yielded and knelt down, as soon as my knees touched the carpet, I was no longer in this building. He took me back. To my grandma's house. I was a little kid. Christmas time, we'd go there. She had a wall heater. You know, when it came on, you'd hear the fan come on. And there would be a slew of grandkids laying on the carpet. That was our bed. And the living room had carpet. And then you went down the hallway into the bathroom or into my grandma and grandpa's room. You go upstairs to a couple other beds. But when you went into the area that everything took place, it was linoleum. And that's where my grandpa's chair was. When you say your grandpa's chair, I don't know if anybody grew up that way, but it was my grandpa's chair. And it was different. He worked hard, and he'd come home and he'd sit. But when we got there as little kids, that's what you do. You'd run in and you'd run to your grandpa, and you'd climb up on his lap in his chair, and he'd always have at least a 50-cent piece or a silver dollar. But when my knees hit the carpet here, I was there back at that night. It was during Christmas time. We'd all gone to sleep. And my mom, my grandma were still sitting there talking in the linoleum area. We're in the carpet area. And I can hear them talking. I walked in there, and all the other kids were asleep, and I was talking to my mom, and they were getting ready to pray. My grandmother and my mom. And they invited me to do the same thing. And it's like when I surrendered and I yielded and I knelt down, immediately I was back there and he said, I've called you and known your walk before you were formed. And then the scripture came to me, the faith that was in your grandmother, that's in your mother, that's in you too. What I encourage you with is, if you don't think along that way from that linoleum floor way back then when I was just in junior high grade school to now, that there's not been times that I've missed it, that I've fallen, that I've tripped. We all have. But he knows. Come on. he still calls us. Come on, I'm talking about each and every one of us. He still calls us his children. He knows we'll trip and fall. But he's still always with us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, if y'all didn't have church like I had church this morning, it's good. What? Dismiss the children. Kids want to go upstairs for about 10, 15 minutes. Just want to head up. And when you get to the top of the stairs, turn around and come back on down. We'll be finished. You guys are awesome. It's amazing. And I'm glad that they're in our service to experience stuff like that too. Amen. So let's get into a couple things this morning. We won't, we're caught into the time. I'm going to take about just 10 minutes if I can this morning and share some things with you that's in my heart. I want to give a shout out to Miss Wendy Cromer. It's her birthday this morning. Amen. She's got some leather chaps on back there, which means there's a bike out in the parking lot, which means that's crazy because it's freezing cold out there. But asked her if she's going to go for a ride. She said she thought it's just a couple miles. But she said, no, it's cold out there. I'm going to just ride back, maybe ride home. But we wish you happy birthday. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. If you need a handout, raise your hand. This will get one to you real quick. We are not going to get into this in depth this morning, but I want to cover a couple things and leave you and just whet your appetite about some things that we're going to look at. We've been talking about living life full, and that's talking about living life full of the Holy Spirit in our life. But I want you to see something this morning, that we can be filled with His Spirit. His Spirit can live on the inside of us, but if we don't understand some things concerning ourselves, if we don't understand some things concerning our own being, then we will not be able to cooperate with the Holy Spirit like we should. And I want you to see this in verse 23. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. And I know we talked about this, and most of us in here understand this, but I want to get into some detail in this three-part being of us, spirit, soul, and body. We're not just a physical, it's not just the physical man that you see. It's not just our intellect that we use. There's a part of us that we do not see with our natural eye. There's a part of us that we do not perceive with looking through these eyes and through these glasses. He says that your whole spirit, soul, and body, there's a part of us that the Word says is our spirit. And the spirit is of the unseen realm. But we're a part of that realm because we are spirit. Let me just say this to you. We have to change our thinking. We're not trying to get into that realm. We're not trying to become something we're not, because we are spirit, soul, and body. We automatically are designed and created to fellowship, to commune, to hear the Spirit of God, to follow the Spirit of God, to know His direction, His wisdom, His insight. We've got to get rid of this mentality that it's some difficult thing that we're struggling to try to comprehend, and that the Holy Spirit in some way or some is not a willing participant in this situation. He's willing to give us all the wisdom that He has. He's willing to lead us, guide us. He's willing to speak to us, and He is speaking to us. But I think that we need to be aware of how we've been created and designed. It says that your whole spirit, soul, and body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? Who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person? Number one on your handout this morning, there is more to you than meets the eye. There's more to you than what you looked at in the mirror this morning. Spirit, soul, and body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and number 2, Paul said, for which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I like the way the English Standard Version says it this way. It's on your handout. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our outer self. Well, you're looking at your outer self. We're looking at our outer self, but we have an inner self. The Bible says it's the spirit of man. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man, your spirit, is your inner self. That's who you are. Number two, it's kind of like number one. There's more to you than your outer self. There's more to you than what you look at in the mirror. There's more to you than the New Year's resolutions that you make to kind of change this outer self. There's an inner self. There's an inner being, and it's your spirit. And the Bible tells us that our spirit comes from God. In Ecclesiastes, it says that this outer body will return to dust, but the spirit will return to God who gave it. So your inner self that is renewed day by day, your outer self, the Bible says it is wearing and it's wearing out. Your inner self is being renewed. Your inner self comes from God. In Genesis, we know that God formed Adam and he breathed into Adam. He took dust and formed him, but then he took something from in him and breathed it into Adam. The Bible says that Adam became a living being. That inner self. There's more to you than meets the eye, and there's more to you than your outer self. Now, here's what I know about myself, and this is where I say I don't want to sleep. I want to be awake. We spend the majority of our life based upon our outer self. Come on, right? What did you think about this morning? I didn't go to bed looking this good. You know, it takes time. Less time than Tammy. I mean, there's not a whole lot that I can do up here. It still takes time, takes effort. And I want to thank the women in the River Cafe for taking the time to bring me back some eggs and sausage. I enjoyed that. But if we're not careful in the midst of all those things that we have to do naturally, we will neglect that inner self. And really, you know, I don't know what point we're on. We're just going to talk a little bit here this morning. Then we'll your hand out. If you don't get the points, maybe someone, you can come up here. I'll leave my points on the table, okay? You've been designed not to live based upon your outer self. You've been created and designed by God. And if we've been created and designed by Him, then I believe that the best way for us to live is the way He created us and designed us to live. We've been created and designed to live not from our outer man, but we've been designed and created to live from our inner being. And we'll look at that. We'll see this. We're going to have fun for just a few more minutes. Let's look at some scriptures here. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Here's Stephen in a very tragic, horrible, can't get any worse situation than this. He's living from his outer man is living his last moments. It says, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, now let's think about this, his outer man, what's going on? The mob has literally dragged him and thrown him out of the city. Take their coats off, throw them at Saul's feet, and begin to pick up stones and pound his body. But he's not living out of his outer man. You don't see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God if you're living out of your outer man. And notice what it says here in verse 59. As they were stoning Stephen, as the stones are pounding his body, he calls out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. His spirit left his body. That passage encourages and reminds me that it's more, there's more than what I see. And that Stephen, in that situation, was focused not on just what was going on outwardly, but literally he was in control even in that situation. Even in that situation where he was being stoned, he remained in control. And he said, "Father, receive. Jesus, receive my spirit." He was more focused on his spirit man than what was happening to his outer body. Jesus did the same thing in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. It says, Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my" what? Spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. There's more to you than your outer self. We already talked about number three. Your inner self is from God. It comes from God. Created and designed by God. We've already talked about this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Let's read the scripture real quick. I want you to see something that we can pick up in Peter's life here. He says, "Therefore I," Peter's talking about himself here. He's personalizing this. He says, "Therefore I intend." Intend. The word intent means to aim. It means I've got a purpose, an objective, a goal. Peter personally had a goal or intent. He said, "I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I," again, he's talking about himself, "I think it right, as long as I," he's talking about himself again, "am in this body to stir you up by way of reminder." Verse 14, "since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as the Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me." Verse 15, "and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things." Let me just tell you something right there. When Peter's talking about I, he's not talking about his natural man. Can't be. Because he said, "I am going to lay this natural man down." So every time we see the word I, he's talking about his spirit. He said, "I am going to remind you after I, who's I? It's his spirit. Depart what? This body. Paul said to be absent of the body is to be what? Present of the Lord. In John 19, verse 30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he yielded up his, what's it say there? Spirit. Peter said, "Therefore I intend," I, not talking about his natural man, talking from his inward man. He said, "I," the man that lives on the inside of this natural body, "I intend always to remind you of these qualities, I, this man that lives on the inside, think it's right. And as long as I am living on the inside of this body, I'm going to stir you up. And since I know, the man on the inside of me knows that I'll be putting this outer body away, I, verse 15, that inner man, is going to make every effort so that my departure, after my departure, you may be able to at any time recall these things. Number four, we are designed to live life with intent through our inner self. We are designed by God to live life with intent through our inner self, not our outward man. What Peter's saying is there, Peter's saying, you know what? He said, I intend to do this. Not this, I on the inside. Okay? I. So we're spirit, soul, and body. We're spirit, soul, and body. Now, understand something. I am not teaching you that your outer man is evil, that your outer man is bad. There's a fallen nature that we all have to deal with. There's the old man we have to all deal with. But I don't believe God created us a three-part being with part of us being evil and two parts of us being good. I believe that when God created spirit, soul, and body, he created us in his image and his likeness. And that you can't have the mentality that the body is a chain, ball and chain on your spirit. It's not. Your body is what gives you the right to be here. But you're not designed and created to live out of your natural man. You're designed and created to live out of your inner man, that inner man which comes from God. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do you and I live according to that inner self that we can't see? Romans 8 verse 11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it says he'll quicken your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. Verse 16 says, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Where's his spirit? The Bible says it dwells in us. In Colossians 1, verse 25, we won't read it all, but drop down there to verse 27. It says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Luke 17, verse 21, Jesus said this, no one will say, look, here it is, or there it is, talking about the kingdom. He said, no one's going to say, look over here. Here's the kingdom. No. Look over here. Here's his kingdom. No. Look over here. Here's his kingdom. No, Jesus says, no. The kingdom's not over there. It's not over there. It's not over here. The kingdom is where? It's within us. It's in us. Just recently, I came across this truth. Not the truth that Christ lives in me. Not the truth that the kingdom's in me. But this truth I'm getting ready to share now. Because for so long, our mentality, and understand something, I'm not saying there's not a heaven. I'm not saying there's not a throne. And when it talks about it, it always makes reference upward. Okay? But the Bible also says that Christ lives in me. The Bible also says that Jesus said that I and the Father will come and make our abode in you. Jesus said the kingdom is in you. Jesus said out of your innermost being shall flow. Come on. Now so if my focus is always when it's here, then I'm missing it. It's like this. It's like taking an antenna. You know, old school, if you have an antenna and pick up the free channels, it's like knowing that the channels come from the Dayton area. The channels, WEC comes from the Xenia area. And it's like that. And you get up and you put your antenna facing the opposite direction. They don't stop broadcasting. The Spirit doesn't stop talking. God doesn't stop moving. But the receiver is not pointed to the right direction. Does that make sense? And when I'm talking about the receiver, I'm talking about one part of our three-part being, our soul. The Bible says that our soul and our spirit are so closely connected, designed that way, that it takes the sharpest two-edged sword, which is the Word of God, to divide asunder It says in Hebrews, it says that the word of God is sharp, it's powerful, it's quicker than any two-edged sword, dividing even asunder the soul and the spirit. Our soul wasn't designed and created by God to be where we live out of, we rule out of. Our soul is designed and created to work with our spirit. Our spirit is our inner man. Our spirit is that inner dwelling place. Our spirit is where the Holy Spirit, Christ, where God abides on the inside of us, is in our spirit. We talked about the three parts of the tabernacle of the Old Testament. The outer court, which would be our body. The inner court, which would be our soul. The holiest of holies, which would be our spirit. When you're born again, your spirit man's made new, and God resides on the inside of your spirit. But your soul still has to be renewed. The Bible says you're transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. What we need to do, the first thing we need to do in order to live out of our inner being instead of our outer being in our outer circumstances, is we have to direct the antenna to the right location of the communication of the kingdom. Does that make sense? And the communication of the kingdom doesn't come from up there. We just read a scripture. It says, His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of his being. The antenna is not directed up there. The antenna needs to be directed where the communication is coming from, and the communication is coming from the kingdom, and the kingdom is where? The kingdom is within us. So we have to take our soul and direct it inward instead of outward. And believe me, we are so conditioned to be outward. That's just the way it is. Don't tell me we're not. You think when you're checking out, and there's Chips Ahoy right there, 99 cents, 9 cookies, you think they put that there because they had no other place to put it? No, let me just tell you this. Nothing happens in the grocery store without great research. They know what you'll buy in the last minute. Why do you think, just next time you go there, just look and see what's there? There'll be some batteries. Why? Because we always need batteries. And you're sitting there waiting like, oh, I got a dozen batteries at home, but we can always need more batteries. The world knows that we are so connected outwardly, but if we want to live out of our spirit, we have to take our soul and direct it inwardly. Okay? Let me give you four things real quick and we're going to close. We're not going to get into them. There's four things on your handout there. These aren't all of them, but there's four of them. How do you do that? Through the Word. Through the Word. You get, however you get into this, iPad, iPhone, whatever it is, and you get into it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You get into this. You read it. You pray before you get in it. You pray the prayer that Paul prayed over us. Father, I pray that my eyes and my understanding would be enlightened by your Holy Spirit, that as I read it tonight, I'm not reading it so that I can say I read the Bible in 1 year. I'm reading it because it's food to my inner man. And I need, Holy Spirit, show me things I've never seen. I don't read the Bible to read the Bible. What I mean by that is tonight I'm going to read the whole book of John. I read and I may just get to one scripture. Because there's more in that one scripture if I listen than I have time to spend receiving from the Holy Spirit. the Word through prayer. Understand something. I'm not telling you what you have to do. That's religion. I'm telling you what you get to do. If you don't think having this type of relationship with the Holy Spirit is so much more incredible than anything else out there in the world, I'm telling you what, then you've not had an encounter. There's so many things that I'm learning, and there's things I've repented. I ask God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Even I've come against the encounters of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've been in this for over 30 years. I've been in the encounters. I mean, I've been in junior high and even younger. So I've been in the meetings where we've all been slain in the Spirit. I've been in the meetings where we've all been laughing. I've been in the meetings where we talk about it for a couple of weeks, and then we go on back to the same way we've always been. And I've been critical of that. But the Holy Spirit said, that's an encounter with me. An encounter with me. It's like when you meet someone for the first time. He said, and it wasn't that he was judgmental. He said, I understand your frustration with it because that's not where the encounters want to bring people to. The Holy Spirit doesn't meet us for the first time and show us his power and his encounters like that with us. Doesn't have us laying flat on the ground, shaking like that, because he wants us to go away. Man, that was so powerful. That was so powerful. That was so powerful. No, he gives us that encounter so it draws us into a relationship. And a relationship's deeper. I've taken a couple of young kids with me to basketball games and like that, and there's a Centerville post that's 6'10", and they just think that's incredible. You take a kid up there, and he's by his knee. And they're like, hey, Mo. And he'll smile, and I'll take a picture, and then I'll show him on the phone that up to his knee. And they've had an encounter with him. They can take the picture home and show the mom, and say, Mom, look how tall he is. Look how tall he is. But that's not a relationship. That's just an encounter. When you have the opportunity to have a relationship with someone and not just an encounter with someone, that's when it gets amazing. And that relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit, it's love. It's when you understand his heart. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, love. Do you know that the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us, to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, was an invitation from him to fall in love with him? It's not something we have. Oh, God, I got to love you. Life really stinks. It's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. And the Spirit of God is a person. He's a person of the Trinity, but he's also God. And so my love for God isn't just for the Father. My love for God isn't just for the Son. My love also includes the Holy Spirit, falling in love with him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So prayer, through worship, and through silence. Through prayer, worship, and silence. I gave you some scriptures there that you can read, and I want to give you the quote at the bottom. We're going to close. The quieter you become, the more you can hear. I want to tell you something. There's a reason why the world is so noisy. There's a reason why even in Jesus' life, you can say, man, it wasn't near as noisy back then. Come on, y'all. It's noisy. I'm not talking about loud noise. I'm just talking about noise. If you go out to lunch today, watch how many people eat lunch with the people that they're eating lunch with like this. It's all noise. It's all noise. And that's why you know what this is? Little Landon has a pacifier. Have you ever seen this pacifier? It's the cutest little thing. When he has it, it's got the little elk or whatever it is, the little thing. What do they call it now?
A wubby.
It's a pacifier, y'all. Okay? And believe me, when we raised our kids, we had them. We used to, you put Elijah's in upside down, and he'd just sit there and he'd twist it with his tongue. right side up. And we used to look at the trick our son can do. But I also know when we lost it, we couldn't find it. And he wanted it. Like, where did you buy this at? Because I'm out to get one right now. Technology can become a pacifier to us. In the time that we have opportunities to be quiet, even though we're not saying anything, maybe not even listening to anything, we're filling the time. And it pacifies you. There's power in silence. If you just look it up naturally, they talk about how a lot of great men and women practiced times of silence, and Jesus was one of them. It says he would leave the multitudes and go to a solitary place, a solitude place. Do you know that there's going to become a time in heaven when they open a seal? When the seal is open, and you know what it says? It says silence fell on heaven. No one says anything. And it specifically says for a half hour. So you know what I try to practice? If it's good enough for heaven, it's good enough for me. Try to set aside that 30 minutes where I'm not worshiping, where I'm not praying, where I'm not reading, I'm listening. Now, part of listening is two-way. But it's more listening and being silent than it is speaking. But when I say that, because the Holy Spirit will say something to you, the Holy Spirit will say, just like this morning during that time, Holy Spirit reaffirming, he said, I've been with you since long. And took me right back in that room. And overwhelmed even my physical man. And then when I got over that, and the tears stopped over that, then he came and he said, as it was in your grandmother. It was in your mother. It's in you. And immediately, I'm telling you, immediately, it's like my grandmother's there, my mom's there, and I'm right there on the linoleum. The three of us kneeling there. But when he talks to us that way, without saying a word, because it's not from our natural man, it's from our spirit, we talk back. Our response back was, God, thank you. The word, prayer, worship, and silence. The quieter you become, the more you can hear. Father, we just thank you this morning for this time. And thank you for your incredible goodness in each one of our lives. We wrap it up today, God, but we don't wrap it up. We wrap up this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys so much for your attentiveness. I went a little bit longer than I said I'd go. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Happy birthday, Wendy. We love you. Amen.